This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in My Lowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Sports to Max, the Olympics are winding down, and I don't know if I feel guilty or bad, or I just haven't watched as much of the Olympic Games as I typically do. And I know, you know, COVID, the Summer Games were delayed by a year in Tokyo, and it was weird, and there's a lot of political undertones about the games being back in China, and I get all of that. But what I feel bad is for these athletes, and it's not necessarily 100% Americans. Obviously, I want the folks from the good old USA to do well, and there have been some really good stories. And there's been some heartbreaking stories, like Michaela Schifrin, the outstanding skier who's had a tough Olympic Games. I've been following it, but I haven't watched. Now, granted, I've been out doing games, and I've been filling in and doing other stuff, so I haven't been glued to the TV or sitting in front of the TV. But there's just something about the games. And I've caught the men's hockey team a couple of times. The women's hockey team I follow very closely. They came up a little short, losing not one but two games to Canada, including the gold medal game to Canada. So Canada gets the gold back after the United States won it last time around. So, I mean, there are certain storylines that I follow. There was certainly the figure skating controversy, the 15-year-old Russian. It's a kid caught up in a doping scandal, allowed to compete, which I completely disagree with. Doping is doping is doping. But I still feel bad for the kid. The Russian, obviously, the one reason they're not competing as Russia under the flag is because they've just been blatant cheaters in recent years. So now it's ROC, and they still cheat, and they still get caught. And this was a 15-year-old who was among the favorites to win the gold medal. She didn't even medal. I feel horribly for the kid because, obviously, she's getting very bad advice and very poor guidance. But that's kind of where I'm at on the Olympic Games. I just haven't watched as much because, well, there's just a number of factors. And one of them is China. I think it's bad. I think the International Olympic Committee, and I've said this before, I think one of the basic criteria for being a host is some semblance of democracy, some semblance of human rights record. No country's perfect. Every country could be better, and every country has a past. But in the here and now, China, Russia, some of these other countries, they should be disqualified. And I also think the International Olympic Committee should get their act together and get a budget in place. The red should access with the venues and countries. And granted, China obviously has the wherewithal to put on the games and build all these venues. But starting to put the games where you don't need to build all of this stuff. And that's why, honestly, the fact that the games are coming to L.A. in 2028, Paris in 2024, but coming to L.A. in 2028, they have the infrastructure. They have the stuff there. They have the arenas. They have SoFi, where I heard the Super Bowl was, where the opening and closing ceremonies are going to be. They have tons of outdoor pools for the swimming and diving at USC and UCLA. They've got, what is Staples Center now, Crypto.com Arena. By then, the Clippers are going to have a new arena by SoFi out in Inglewood. They got plenty of venues. They've got plenty of stuff already in place. They have the Coliseum that's been, games in 1932 and 1984 or whatever it was. So they've got all this stuff in place. So L.A. makes a lot of sense. There is talk that if the Winter Games come back to the United States, Salt Lake City might step up to the plate. Salt Lake City has a lot of stuff already in place. They have the, you know, unbelievable mountains and ski resorts in the Salt Lake area. And then they have all the venues. They have the home of the Utah Jazz. They also have the University of Utah and venues, like the football stadium at the University of Utah. I think they had the opening ceremonies when they were in Salt. My point being is that I think the International Olympic Committee needs to be more sensitive to the cost of putting on the games and then putting the games in areas where democracy and human rights are part of the deal. So right now, I think a real low ebb. It doesn't take anything away from the athletes, whether it's a curling team, men or women, cross-country skier like Jesse Diggins, all the people with local ties. I'm not diminishing the work they've put in and their accomplishments. It's just hard for me to get into these games. And Chris, I don't know about you and where you're at in the Olympic Games. I do feel a little guilt that I haven't spent more time with the games,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, I don't feel guilty. I think for me, it's just more... I'm not looking into it quite as deeply as you are. I don't know if I'm just not as educated or I'm just not as deep, you know, or whatever. But
don't accuse me of either of those things.
You're already way more of a thinker than I am. But for me, it boils down to convenience. Like, I don't know what's live, what's taped. Am I going to find it on Carrie Levin, NBC? Am I going to find it on MSNBC? Do I have to go to the Peacock app? Like, where am I going to find this stuff? I think NBC has done an awful job of telling people exactly what you can find, where you can find it, and when you can find it. To me, it's been about the presentation. And I mean, I'll watch it when I'm here, but I'm not necessarily... Like the women's gold medal hockey game from a couple nights ago, everybody's like, "Oh man, it's Canada and the U.S." Dude, I was in bed. I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and I'm like, I didn't even want to stay up for it. Like, the men's curling, I love curling, and I was just like, I'm having a hard time getting into it, and I don't know if it's COVID as well. I don't feel like it's a true representation of the Olympics again. And I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know. I feel disconnected from the athletes this year.
Yeah, and there's just a number of reasons. And I think with any of these things, it is a combo platter. China and their government, it's a dictatorship. Let's call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The brutal human rights record. We have a lot of work here to do in the United States.
I was going to say, we got to be careful that we don't fall into that area.
Absolutely.
Because we have people that wanted to put us into that area, and we're fighting like hell to stay away from it.
Yeah, and I do, but a time difference in how the games are packaged, it's just, I don't know how much in prime time, for instance, how much time we can spend at the half pipe. I appreciate the skill of these athletes, but it seems to me there's some sports, it's like half pipe, you know, okay, you know, you got people on skis and on snowboards, and I've been a skier my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the sport a great deal, but it's like, how many different wrinkles can you put on certain events? You know, it's like figure skating. Now there's
explain it to me. Like, tell me what it is that I'm supposed to be watching for, because I want to know if I'm going to be watching. Like, what am I supposed to be looking for? Because I don't know a lot of these winter sports.
I get bobsled and skeleton.
Yeah,
and
I've seen cool runnings.
I don't understand two man luge. That hasn't been explained to me yet. You know, who are the guys once upon a time that said, yeah, let's both get on a luge together, and, you know.
I'll just lay on top of you, and
we're just going to go, you know, 90 miles an hour.
Takes a lot of skill to lay on top of somebody and go 90 miles an hour, Steve.
But bobsled, you know, that's been around. And some of the skiing events I think are pretty cool. And like I said, right at the top, Michaela Schifrin, heartbreaking story. I wouldn't put it in the same category as Simone Biles, who actually pulled out of the competition. But Michaela Schifrin, you know, this world champion, one of the great skiers of all time, has had a terrible game. So in that respect, I feel like while I've caught some of it and followed some of the big storylines, it's just, and you hit on it for me, maybe it is the way it's packaged, where it's like, okay, you know, now we're going to spend 45 minutes at the half pipe, and if you don't care about half pipe, where do I find a hockey game, or where do I mean, it just becomes very difficult. And then, of course, the fact that it's happening on the other side of the world. And right now, what time is it in China? You know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning? You know, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, the sun's up, because right now we're seeing some live skiing in the half pipe. But, it's just kind of a funny feeling as the games wind down, where I feel like, you know, I should have paid some of these athletes a little bit more attention. So we'll see going forward. I think it'll help when the next summer games are in Paris. The times are a little bit closer. It'll be a little bit easier to enjoy some of the events of the summer games. And then ultimately, when the games come back to the States, LA is 2028. Salt Lake could be as soon as 2030. For the winter games, and I think that'll be a big help, where you're going to be able to, you know when stuff's going on, and whether it's live or what's on tape or what's happened and what's not happening. 817 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. More section finals tonight in girls hockey. State tournament starts next week. Wednesday, the 1A. Thursday, the 2A. The last 2 years, Andover and Edina have met for a state title. Andover, the first matchup, a great game, and then the next year, equally good game. Edina won it. Well, Andover is punch-air ticket to the state tournament, and head coach Melissa Volk joins us on the line. And Melissa, congrats on a great year, unbeaten going into the state tournament.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, congrats. It's been such a great run for the Andover girls program. Those section finals all have to be nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we played last night, and we had a lot of young kids in the lineup, so it was a little nerve-wracking, but it was also such an awesome experience for them to play in front of so many people.
Yeah, and you were over at Fogarty, and always a good crowd. That's a traditional venue for the Section 7 AA final, and you were able to get it done, but only up 1-0 after one period. Your top line, though, had a huge night, having a hand in all six goals.
Yeah, definitely. They had a great night, you know, obviously producing with their line, even strength, and then on the power play. But like you said, yeah, we were only up one, you know, fighting it a little bit, but I was proud with just keep on, you know, trusting the process, keep on working hard, and things ended up going their way.
Yeah, there's been so much talk about the scoring and the players you have up front that put the puck in the net. Ella Berger's just been tremendous all year. Isabel Gettle's been great. Madison Brown had a couple of goals in the game last night. But on the back end, your goaltending, and Andover's had some really good goaltenders. But I wanted you to talk a little bit about Courtney Stagman. What a year she's had.
Yeah, she's had a great year. She's come up big for us in our big games. And, it's just awesome, too, just how humble she is. Yesterday, I think a TV crew came to interview, and she's like, what did I do in the game? Just because she didn't see like a ton of shots, but she, made some huge saves. And then, she's just she's a great player and then an even better person off the ice with all the work she does in her community.
Yeah, Melissa, when I talk to coaches, girls game, boys game, knowing that you got a rock solid goaltender makes everything so much easier.
Yes, for sure. Us being confident in her makes, is a difference maker for sure.
Yeah. And, the team, so many good players, and some players left the program, graduation, other circumstances, and you just kind of reloaded Andover. What were your thoughts going into this season about, the change, where it's kind of like, did you expect the team to be this good and be able to run the table and go unbeaten? Considering that you had some great players graduate and some other players move on.
Yeah, definitely going into this season, we're a different team. Lots of people at the beginning of the season wanted to try and compare to previous teams, but we really only had, six returning letter winners. So, like you said, reloaded. Going into the season, did I think we'd be unbeaten? Definitely not. I don't think anybody necessarily has that goal necessarily. But for all the kids to just really embrace their roles and have great attitudes and just care about the team first, I think that's why we've been successful.
Yeah, and the schedule, you played everybody. You opened with Benilde St. Margaret's. I called that game on QCTV to start the season. A hard-fought win over Benilde, 3-2, and they're playing their section final tonight against Edina. But Minnetonka, Gentry, a very good Northwest Suburban Conference. But, beyond that, you have played everybody, all the top teams, in 2A and 1A this year.
Yeah, we love to have a good schedule. It's much more fun to have competitive games and really have to battle for those wins and earn them.
Yeah, and around the state of Minnesota, you've had a chance to see all. You know how good Edina is. You were able to meet Edina in the title game the last 2 years, winning one and then losing one last year. But Minnetonka is good. This is going to be a great tournament starting next week.
Yeah, we're definitely very excited. It's come really, really fast, and it's going to be here and be done in a week.
Yeah, and it is hard to believe because the season does start so early, and here we go. And you've had a lot of experience, but how do you set the schedule? Do you give them the weekend off and then get back to practice, or are you going to get together on Saturday? How do you set it up, Melissa, getting ready for a state tournament?
Today we had a little fun when we got on the ice and did some kind of game battling type stuff. But believe it or not, we actually have 6:30 a.m. ice tomorrow. It was the only hour that they could give us. So we got ice and dry land and out of there by 8:30 a.m. So, but then they got the rest of the weekend off.
Yeah, and then what is it, a pretty typical rhythm after school, say Monday, Tuesday?
Yes, yep, and then we kind of go back to our normal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday practices.
And then what about the challenges of a state tournament? There's some experience on this team. You've certainly been through it. The idea of playing 3 days in a row, not very typical. What are you going to tell the girls going into this tournament?
It's a grind, but it's so much fun. I mean, it's just such a special experience that hockey players, girls, boys, all over the state would honestly give anything to experience. So we're just going to cherish the moments with our teammates and, make our community proud.
We talked about the goaltending in your top line, but the one thing I've noticed when I've had a chance to see your team play is there is good balance. And you can roll three lines, even play your fourth line, and feel confident that you have great depth.
Yeah, that's definitely something really special that honestly our, you know, our top line doesn't have to go up against other teams' top lines. If one line's not producing, the other one kind of picks up the slack. The other ones pick up the slack, and then from our defensemen as well. So definitely a team game.
All right. Well, always good to visit with you. And thanks for staying up late with that early ice time. I know you probably need to get a little rest before that. I mean, the alarm's going to go off early.
Oh, no. I don't sleep much, so I got three kids. So, yeah, it's fine. Right. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me, Steve.
Yeah, always good to visit with you, Melissa Volk, head coach, unbeaten Andover. What a season the Huskies, once again, defending state runner-up, champion 2 years ago. They run the table 27-0, beat Elk River Zimmerman in the section final last night, 6-0. And speaking of section finals, three huge games tonight as we fill out the 2A bracket in girls hockey. In progress, Minnetonka leading Holy Family 1-0. That game in the third period, Maple Grove Centennial Spring Lake Park in the Section 5AA championship game. They're tied at 2 over at Roseville. And then at Parade, right near downtown, Edina leading Benilde St. Margaret's 2-0. So those are the last three spots. One other game coming up tomorrow, that's the Lone Other Section Final. That's over in 1A. And that'll be up in Alexandria. River Lakes takes on Fergus Falls in the Section 6A championship game. That'll be at 4 o'clock our time tomorrow afternoon. I had the terrible weather, blizzard conditions up in that part of the state. Yeah, I-94 from St. Cloud all the way to Fargo has been really, really tough. So they're going to play that game on Saturday. All right, we've got a break. It is 8:30 here on Sports to the Max. When we come back, Golden Gopher women's hockey, they have the night off on a Friday night. They get St. Thomas, and it's on to the postseason for the number one ranked Golden Gophers, head coach Brad Frost. In a moment, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. There isn't a hotter team in town than the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher women's hockey team. They are rolling as they close out the regular season. They get St. Thomas at Ritter Arena tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. They beat the Tommies on Thursday night in St. Paul 7-1. But the new year has been kind to the Golden Gophers. And included in all of that was a sweep of number one Wisconsin at Ritter Arena back in January. They got a split at then number two Ohio State. They swept Bemidji State, St. Cloud State. Once again, have a chance to sweep the Tommies before they close out the regular season and go into the WCHA playoffs. And head coach Brad Frost joins us. And Brad, you've coached a lot of years at the U and national championship teams, and every team is different, but this team has come on as of late and played just great.
Yeah, they really have, Steve. It's been a great just a great year. You know, started a little slow, but the progression of this team has been really fun to watch and really fun to be a part of.
What do you think the key to this turnaround at the end of the regular season? I know the sweep of number one Wisconsin at Ritter Arena, winning two very good hockey games, two tight games, it goes a long way in taking over the number one spot. But for you as a head coach, what's been the key?
Well, I think we've got great leadership. You know, we have a pretty large senior class. Taylor Heisey for us has been playing at another level. I think she's player of the year type material for both the WCHA and nationally. But, you know, the team has just really grown in their belief. Each time we step on the ice, they are confident that they're going to win and they're going to do what's necessary to win. But they're also a really close group that that plays for one another. And you have to have that chemistry, that kind of it factor in order to do anything special.
Yeah, and in an Olympic year as well.
Yeah, you know, we're obviously without Grace Umwinkel and Abby Murphy, and some of the other top teams are without some of their players as well. Sure. So it's something that we know is going to happen every 4 years, but it allows for opportunities for others to kind of fill in the gaps, and several players have done that.
Canada beat the United States in the gold medal game, but it is a great showcase for the women's game. I think every Olympic game, people get a chance to sample the product, if you will, and realize how enjoyable it is. It's a great game.
Oh, no doubt. And I think 3.5 million people saw that the other night. And you know, when you've got a hockey game in the middle of the night and that many people tune in, it's obviously a great event and was just that the other night.
Yeah, you got a game with St. Thomas. Of course, St. Thomas went Division One. You played the Tommies this year. There's no doubt having another Division One program in town has its advantages, but nevertheless, future competition. A good thing, Brad, in your opinion, to have the Tommies right next door?
Yeah, I think so. The more teams that we can add at the Division One level is beneficial for everybody, for the girls that are playing hockey and growing up and wanting to play college hockey. It's great for our league to get back to eight teams in our league in the WCHA. And, you know, I think obviously the Tommies are in transition right now, coming from D3 to D1, and it's their first year. But I would expect in the next couple of years they're going to be a team that's pretty formidable, and we'll probably be getting a lot of Twin Cities high school girls that are wanting to stick close to home.
Yeah, and Brad, you recruited all over North America. You rely heavily on Minnesota kids, and there is tremendous talent. I see a lot of girls hockey in the winter months calling it on PrepSpotlight.tv or a local cable channels, and there's a lot of good players. It really is fun night in and night out to see these teams and see these good players. There's some very high-end talent, and some of those kids have made their way to the U.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we always want to try and keep the best players in the state here at home. And I'm actually out right now at the Minnetonka Holy Family section final, and you know, 1,000 people here watching some kids lay it on the line. So it's a lot of great talent here in the state and elsewhere. And you know, I think sometimes people forget that in college recruiting, you're recruiting everywhere. We've got a Swedish Olympian and a Finnish Olympian coming to the U next year, along with a couple Minnesota players. So it's a worldwide product. They're playing all over the world, and it's really great to see the growth, just throughout North America and Europe.
Here we are on the eve of the end of the regular season. Then it's on to the WCHA playoffs. The final face-off at Ritter Arena, and your team ranked number one, in very good shape for the NCAA tournament. But knowing you, Brad, you and your assistant coaches and the team not taking anything for granted.
No, not after last year. Obviously, we're in a much better position this year than we were last year, but obviously felt like we got left out of the tournament. But you know, it made our players better. They were even more dialed in here in the summer and coming back this year and not wanting that to happen again. So, as you mentioned, we're in good shape for most likely to host an NCAA tournament game. But you know, goal number one here is to win tomorrow and win that WCHA regular season championship.
In your experience, it's easy to lose momentum, as we talked about. Great momentum here early in 2022, but you want to keep that up and continue to play well.
For sure, for sure. You want to. Every coach will say they want to be playing their best at the end of the year, and we just feel really good about our group. It doesn't guarantee anything in the end, but you know, they're a team that knows they can beat anybody. And that confidence can go a long, long way.
Well, Brad, always good to visit with you. And good luck tomorrow in the finale at Ritter Arena against St. Thomas. And then on to the WCHA playoffs. And hopefully we can visit again soon.
Would love to. Thanks, Steve. Have a great night.
All right. Yeah, very good. There he is, Brad Frost, Golden Gopher women's hockey coach. No team in town hotter than the University of Minnesota women's hockey team. They are ranked number one and have a great chance to get back to the Frozen Four, this time at Penn State. Relatively new building that hosts the Nittany Lions men's and women's program in the NCAA Frozen Four in the middle of March in Happy Valley, University Park, Pennsylvania, to be exact. Brad spoke of those three section finals still in progress. Minnetonka leading Holy Family at Braemar in the Section 2AA championship game. Maple Grove has now surged ahead of Centennial Spring Lake Park 4-2 late in the game there. That's at Roseville in Section 5AA. And then in Section 6AA, Edina leading Benilde St. Margaret's 3-1. If we get a final before we say goodnight, we'll pass it along to you. We should tell you all the news, all the weather, and then late night with Henry Lake coming up here on a Friday night. News Talk, E3O-WCCO. Update on the gymnastics meet over at Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul. We mentioned earlier, 218 title to Wayzata, the 1-8 title to Watertown Mayor Mound West Tonka. My friend Jim Paulson of the Star Tribune covering has that news. Let's see if we have any finals from the section finals in girls hockey tonight. Number one ranked Andover in. It is a final, and Edina beat Benilde St. Margaret's 4-1. It is a final. Maple Grove leading Centennial Spring Lake Park late 4-2. Minnetonka Holy Family tied at 2 in that section final. 1A Wednesday, 2A on Thursday. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I'll get a chance to maybe call one of those first round state tournament games over on PrepSpotlight.tv. They will have the quarterfinal action before Channel 45 takes over with semifinal action Friday and then, of course, championship Saturday. So that is the lay of the land. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I've put in my availability. Now I wait for them to say, yes, Steve, you can do a game, or no, we found someone better. So I'll keep my fingers crossed. Hey, a big thanks to the folks that joined us on the program tonight. Chris Hine covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune, and that is available online at WCCRadio.com, or take advantage of the free Odyssey app. Also joining us on the program tonight was Melissa Volk, head coach, number one ranked Andover girls hockey. They are unbeaten on their way to the state tournament. They will be the number one seed. And then, of course, moments ago, Brad Frost, head coach of the number one ranked Golden Gopher women's hockey team. And, of course, big thanks to Chris Tubbs. Had to put up with me not one night this week, but two nights this week.
I know. It was too late to like call in and be sick because other people were out. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know,
yeah.
You know how Charlie Brown feels when he's going to talk to Lucy and things are not going right? And he's like,
yeah.
I'm not good at this. I'm not, I kind of feel like Eeyore when I find out that I have to work with you. I'm like, harumph, I guess.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll take one for the team. You probably told the boss, yeah, I'll hang in there. I'll bite the bullet.
Yeah, this has got to count for, like, days off. You know, it's like for every day that I work with you, I need 2 days off down the road. I mean, I have to negotiate something. It's just too damn painful, Steve.
Now, I do want you to tell us about that wildly popular podcast you've started. What's going on? What's the latest with your AWA podcast?
It has been absolutely awesomely well received by the people that have been listening, whether on YouTube or just via real regular downloads. What it is it's a podcast about old school wrestling, the American Wrestling Association, which was created by Vern Gagne, Wally Carbo. And, you know, we've talked about Vern and Larry Hennig, everything all throughout the AWA. And we release it weekly. It's released on Tuesdays. It's called AWA Unleashed. And we have gotten just overwhelmingly positive reviews. It's myself, mostly Mick Karch, who, you know, people know as the voice of, you know, professional wrestling in the state, and George Shire, who is an absolute encyclopedia of the American Wrestling Association. And I mean, they tell stories.
He's done books and.
George is incredible. And you know, they've told stories about Nick Bockwinkel that you probably haven't heard. You know, Bobby Heenan. It's been incredible. And yeah, we've got it on YouTube as well. Just search AWA Unleashed, or you can search my name as well, Chris Tubbs. It's got the logo up there. But yeah, the numbers, Steve, we knew there was an appetite for it. I had no idea, like, we were going to reach these heights this quickly. Like, it's been overwhelming at times with the reaction that we've gotten.
Yeah, good for you.
You smell what Chris Tubbs is cooking?
See, Henry just did a run in. I had no idea. Like, this was not booked. Like, this was off the cuff. See, he was back in grill, and he's just like, go. And all of a sudden, I see this red light, and I'm like, oh, like, Lake's on. So, hey, Lake.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this right now, Stevie T. I'm about to give Christopher Tubbs the elbow. Boom.
Oh, ow. Yeah. Ah. The smackdown.
Yeah.
You know, and what's funny about it, Henry, is Chris Tubbs and I will talk during the breaks about this going on. But every now and then we would talk old school. And my late brother and I loved the AWA weekend TV shows and Nick Bockwinkel and the Crusher and Bobby the Brain Heenan and Marty O'Neill, and then of course Mean Gene, and we just absolutely love that stuff, and people are into it.
It's a Minnesota thing too, Stevie.
Yeah.
I remember the last professional wrestler that I actually met was Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig.
Yep.
About a year or two before he passed away tragically, I was hanging out with him down at Champs, the old Champs, a block over from Target Center.
Sure.
It was like a day before they had a big event there.
Oh, yeah. People are into it. I mean, I remember getting to a couple of the big shows at the old St. Paul Civic Center. You know, the big shows, Vern Gagne and all the stars came out. It was magical. You know, that was a big, big deal.
Yep.
And lots of fun. Lots of memories. So good news on that, Chris. Hey, what do you got coming up tonight, Henry, on Late Night?
Well, you know, tonight, some somber stuff. I mean, we'll get to some sports stuff, but I definitely have to kick it off with talking about the reaction to the sentencing of Kim Potter. Jim Hagedorn passing away. We'll probably check in with Blois Olson, who's in Denver.
All right, very good. Henry Lake, Late Night on the way between 9 and 1. I will be back tomorrow. We'll kick it off. Tech Talk with Doug between 2 and 3. Tons of sports talk tomorrow afternoon.
Can I just go home now, Steve?
You got to hang out with Henry for a while.
All
right. Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Take care, my man. The news and Henry on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.